Good evening, listeners. Edward Josephs, your digital doctor here. Now, we've got a bit of stuff to cover this evening, so I might use a high baud rate here if I can.
28.
First thing that people might be interested in, what's happening with the top USA companies? What are the big names doing and where do they stand and profits and the like? I just came across some figures the other day, just briefly. Who's on the top of the list of computer companies?
Microsoft.
IBM.
Oh.
In fact, I can't even see Microsoft
on here. Internet division.
IBM is number one in the US amongst the top 200 with a profit as percent of sales of 4.7%. Slightly down the list, would you believe Hewlett-Packard at number three? Number three, HP, 6.9%. Number 12, Apple Computer, 4.8% profitability. 17.
What were they this time last year?
This time last year, number 9. Now they're number 12. Jason. Okay, number 17, Sun Microsystems, way behind Apple. Isn't that interesting? 4.8% profitability.
Yeah, and what were they this time last year?
Number 20, they're creeping up.
Well, doesn't that just say it all?
It does say something, actually. And number 66, as a matter of interest, Cisco Systems, who, of course, made bridges, routers, and communications gear like that. 21.1% profitability. They're making money. Wang Laboratories, Wang PCs, 94, worth 78 last year. 1.7% profitability.
Wow, good margin in there.
So Wang is not doing particularly great guns. Mm. Some highlights, highest sales growth over 4 years, Cisco Systems, 105.4%. And the largest net loss, who gets the carrot? Digital Equipment, $2.042 billion net loss. Okay, enough of that. CD-ROMs and magneto optical drives. A few people have been asking me during last week again about what are these CD-ROM and magneto opticals all about. Do they actually read and write your CDs? No, they don't. We were talking about products which don't write CD-ROMs, such as the Plasmon PD2000. Panasonic have got one out now as well, which is an LMR650. And just to recap, what they're all about is they're a 650 megabyte magneto optical read write disk, not to be confused with a CD-ROM read writable disk. But they do have a quad speed CD-ROM drive built into them, so you can actually read normal CDs.
What does it mean?
It's actually got a drawer cartridge like a normal CD-ROM drive, and you can stick a kind of a square magneto optical read write disk, a bit like a removable hard disk.
Is it quick?
They're fairly quick, yeah, like a removable cartridge drive. Mm. And then in the same drawer compartment, in a recess further in, you can stick a normal CD in if you just want to use it as a glorified CD-ROM drive.
$2,000, right?
About $1,100 plus tax, about $1,300. But the question I've been getting from people is, does that actually write your CDs for you? No, it doesn't.
Thank God.
CD-ROM recorders are available, however, about $2,500 ex tax today.
That's where they should be.
They're coming down. And the example is the Sony CDU920S, an internal unit, and they are going for about $2,500. So the prices on those are dropping. I think about a year ago they were $10,000 or so, weren't they? Mm. So they're dropping like anything.
Like flies.
Now, Win95, let's talk a little bit about Win95. We promised to do a little bit about this last week. PPP? No, first let's talk about Meese. Now, I've been meaning to talk about this for about a week or so. People experiencing problems with their serial mouse. I've personally found problems, intermittent problems with serial mice. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. We use the Genius mice, other mice had similar problems. Sometimes your mouse works, sometimes it doesn't. Now, you can talk to Microsoft for an hour or so, and they are most helpful. Or should I say helpless, because at the end of an hour, your mouse is still intermittently working or not working. I believe it's actually a known problem.
You can get onto Microsoft's technical support for Windows 95 a hell of a lot quicker nowadays.
Absolutely. In fact, on their dialer number, they specially have a Win95 action team selection thing on their telephone. So as I say, they are most helpful, but they won't solve your problem, I believe. And we did that last week, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And what you'll find is you'll get varying stories from people. For example, we got a story that a new Win95 software driver was available for the mouse and keyboard, and then somebody else said, no, it wasn't actually available for the mouse and keyboard. And at the end of the day, it wouldn't install. And it's also interesting to note that the default configuration that Windows 95 uses with a generic mouse is in fact standard serial mouse, not Microsoft, which I thought interesting. And you can install it for MS Serial Mouse, but don't waste your time. It still only works intermittently. Some mice work perfectly, others don't, which under Win31 and Win311 are known to work perfectly. So don't lose too much sleep about it if you have an intermittent mouse problem. If you get a genuine Microsoft mouse, it'll be fine, of course.
Yes, I've had no problems at all. I got a really good mouse, Microsoft one.
Ah, they work. But they have two buttons.
Magnificent.
Okay, now let's talk about something a little bit more interesting.
Please.
Well, I think it's a little bit more interesting. PPP. a few people have been talking about Windows 95. How do you get onto Netscape, on dial-up, into your internet service provider, etc., etc. People say you need the Plus Pack. Well, heck, I don't know. I haven't got the Plus Pack. It works for me.
It doesn't work, all right.
No, it works actually beautifully. In fact, I was impressed.
But you have to download the dial-up scripting tool, don't you?
Nope. You don't load nothing. Well, I didn't download nothing.
So you log on manually all the time?
Well, I see what you're saying.
What do you do, Ed?
No, okay, what do you do? Now, firstly, there are some interesting things when you do some of these installations that you come across. For example, when we installed it for the dial-up about a week ago when we started tinkering with it, we found it was a little bit tricky. The other thing that we noticed was something rather interesting, or to me interesting anyway, which is that Windows 95, of course, is multitasking, threading, stitching, cooking, whatever, etc. But during the installation from floppy for the dial-up networking, we got the, and I should say normal message, DHCP client. This DHCP client, and we all know what a DHCP client is, of course. It's a dynamic host configuration protocol client, which basically means it looks for somewhere to talk IP to when it's sort of half configured for IP. It was unable to obtain an IP network address from a DHCP server. In other words, you haven't got a TCP/IP server connected of any kind every minute or so. Now, that's quite normal.
Just for the record, IP means Internet Protocol, right?
Quite correct. Now, that message is actually quite normal, but the installation, I am fairly sure, actually stopped from the floppy. Now, why? And one wonders whether that would affect any other processes and applications currently running. For example, Well, no, the floppy actually stopped installing and reading when the little message came up, which is a routine one-minute message if you're not connected to a TCP/IP host.
What did Microsoft say when you rang them?
I didn't ring them about that. Why would I bother? But I thought it was quite interesting.
Do you want me to give you some help on how to do it?
Oh, that would be nice, Rita.
I can fax you some stuff.
No, we've actually made up a cheat sheet for this. Now, we haven't got it quite ready, but what we'll do... we'll
make it available, yes.
Exactly. We'll make it available to Triple R listeners probably in a week or so. Now, we did test the dial-up out, and it actually worked perfectly. It worked very well.
Wait a second. And this is without using the Plus Pack.
Without using anything.
So what do you use?
Just the bits and pieces that actually come with Win95.
It comes standard with the TCP/IP dial-up.
Yeah, but there's a few other interesting things, actually, which I thought were interesting from my point of view, because we had the thing configured for Ethernet as well. And
Hold on. This is really important. When I got all the Windows 95 stuff, I got the Plus Pack at the same time, just installed the whole thing. So I'm very hazy on what's in what.
You're the Plus saying Pack has got the dial-up scripting tool.
Yeah,
that's the only thing it's got.
Which basically means that you can click on a number and dial.
So what substitutes for the dial-up scripting tool if you don't have the Plus Pack?
You actually have to install dial-up scripting, and depending on the authentication procedure your ISP uses, you need to ask them what they use, and most of them ask you to bring up a terminal window, and you actually type into a terminal window.
And that's a piece of cake.
Yeah, it's really easy. Just type in, you know, my name's Rita, my password is blah, 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 and then you tell it you want PGP.
However, there is a trick to it all.
So you do it from a menu.
Now,
no, you do it from a terminal window. You ask it for a terminal window.
Now,
Anyway, it's all we've got time for this week.
It's getting to that, isn't it?
It is, mate. Wrap it up.
Basically,
bring your ISP. They should tell you.
Basically, you run your network configuration setup. You set up your TCP/IP, your IP address, and you set it up to obtain an IP address automatically, which means basically your internet service provider will send you the IP address automatically as you log in. Now, basically, the tricky part is not installing the IP addresses and the fact that you're using TCP/IP, that's quite easy. You basically just go through the My Computer, Control Panel, Network, and Configuration, and you set up all the necessary elements. But there is that one tricky part which we found problems with, and that's what I'm thinking some of the listeners might have a problem with as well. Now, you might want to write this down. The tricky part is to actually do the dial-in facility. You have to run add remove programs, then you have to run Windows setup, and then you have to run communications. Now, you might find that communications is actually already ticked, but guess what, folks? That's not enough. You actually have to click on the details, pick up, dial-up networking, and on you go. Then you run My Computer again, Control Panel, Network Configuration, TCP, dial-up adapter, properties, etc., etc. And that's the tricky part, that it's actually under that.
We're out of here.
We have to go, sorry.
And that's it. So maybe...
Well, no, next week we'll continue. It's
yeah.
Not finished, I'm sure. We have run out of time severely. We do have a giveaway. 419-2066 for two lucky subscribers. We've got a Lodestar game and a t-shirt to give away, and $10 food now, brochures. So we've got 7 giveaways. Ring in 419-2066. It's disastrous. We're out of here.
We're going to
see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.